Hey, what's happening, guys? Thank you for tuning in to episode 20 of the Moto 247 show. Today I'll be recapping Orlando 1 and Orlando 2, which is round 7 and 8 of the Monster Energy Supercross Championship. I want to give a shout out here to Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does a phenomenal job. The graphics he makes are top notch in the way they look, and also top notch in the quality. They definitely won't let you down. If you have a snowmobile or dirt bike, you should definitely hit up Prism Designs. And you can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company. And if you go there on their Instagram page, they got their link to the website there right in their bio. And like I said, they make some really cool graphics for your snowmobile and dirt bike. And heck, they even make helmet wraps, which look really sick. And they have a bunch of pictures of the bikes they did there on the Instagram. And definitely worth checking out. And I also want to give a shout out to Prime MX. They make MX-inspired abrasive wheels, apparel, and parts. And they also offer worldwide shipping. And if you want to find them on Instagram, they're on there at PrimeMX. That is PrimeMX. And they also have a badass YouTube channel. If you guys haven't subscribed to their YouTube channel or viewed it, you should definitely do so. They have a lot of cool bike builds on there. Okay, so first off, I have to give a major shout out to Dirtworks. I think I even said this in the last podcast, but it needs to be said again because they, yet again, did a phenomenal job. And, definitely had some bad luck with the weather over the last couple weeks, and I was even going to make a podcast last week after Orlando won, but after I got going there, I think I was in like a, I at least did one segment. I might have been into my second segment, and I'm like, screw it, I'll just wait until next week, especially since I'm doing a solo podcast right now. I'm like, I'll push it back to next week so I get Orlando 1 and Orlando 2 and recap those races together. And yet again, even like, let's not even count Orlando 1. Dirtworks, yet again, has done a phenomenal job. I heard a lot of people on social media complaining about how the track's pretty much the same. Like, I think they changed like a couple things in the track, but the layout was, you know, the exact same layout. And people were bitching and all those haters, you know, on social media. But they don't realize all the work that goes into it. But yeah. I just want to give a huge shout out to Dirtworks first off here, because yet again did an amazing job, and at least we weren't going from a Saturday to a Tuesday race, so they had a little bit more time. But still, you know, I know they're definitely putting in a lot of hours and getting these tracks rideable. Because even at first, or the first round, I mean, like everyone thought it was gonna be a complete mud fest. I watched qualifying, or the first part of qualifying. And it was, you know, pretty sloppy, but it was way better than even what people think was thinking it was going to be for qualifying. Then for the main event, that thing dried up really good, and I think they even made jokes like Ricky Carmichael and what's-his-face, the other announcer. Wow, crap, what's his name? Mind-blanking, Lee Duffy, that's his name. Lee, I think they're even making jokes about how the track's dry, and they might even need to bring a water truck out and... yeah, all the riders. It seems like all the riders and fans were posting on social media how it's going to be a mud fest. But yeah, Orlando 1 turned out good. Then this week they had a lot of rain and just led to the track being similar. But who cares? You know, it's, you know, kind of worst case scenario right there. It's, you know, the same tracks. Who cares? It was good tonight. So it was pretty cool to watch. And especially in the 250 class tonight was some great racing. But first off, I'm going to talk about Orlando 1 and the 7th round of the 250 East class. I guess I've even said this like 100 times. I kind of am tired of myself saying this, but it's like craziness. Like every week, craziness. All the things that, or all the ways that is, that COVID affected the championship has been crazy. You know, all the Saturday, the Tuesday races, and they're staying in the same stadiums. Like they had three Houstons, and you know, they're still doing the 17 rounds, but I'm not sure how many places they're going to, but you know, definitely not as many locations as normal. So they're getting affected in that way. Then the Saturday to Tuesday races, then the weather in Orlando, which it seems like it always is raining in Florida, so I guess nothing new there. But so first off in the 250 class. It's the craziness again. I'm gonna say that like 100 times in this episode. I'm gonna try not to say it though. But you know, Christian Craig was leading that heat race, and besides his incident, both heat races were kind of boring. Colt, got up front early and led, and the same with Jet after that Christian Craig crash, obviously. But yeah, Christian came up a little funny on that. Like, it, obviously he, well, heck, if you watched it, you know exactly what happened. But was on the far right and, whipped over to the left and landed funny on that, and it shot him weird and into the inside of that bull corner. And yeah, I have to give a shout out to him. Gonna give a couple of shout outs in today's episode, because yeah, Christian deserved one too. He raced with a broken hand, and that thing was pretty swollen up, and it was kind of cool. They got some footage on their vlog. First off, before I get into what I was gonna say about Christian, is on their vlog it shows Paige is recording right as Christian crashes, and someone in front of her just stands up and starts cheering. Now, it kind of pissed me off. I don't care if you like the guy or not, but to be an asshole like that. I'd be like an asshole like that. And I don't know, it just pissed me off. But, yeah, that vlog was really good. So, if you guys haven't checked that out, you should definitely check that out. I think their name on YouTube is like the Craig Family. They always get good stuff there. But, yeah, Christian, I was like, is he going to race this? And how is he going to do in the LCQ? Obviously, it should be no problem, but, there's always drama, like there was tonight in Orlando, too. But, yeah, got through that good. And then the heat, or not the heat race, the main event, it really helped that he was in the 250 East class after tonight's 250 West. I don't know where he would have finished tonight. It was crazy, but I guess I'll talk about that in a second. But, yeah, he got third there and just, finished with some points and didn't lose too much, and it was really cool to see him finish the race, and not only finish it, but to get third is huge. I know the 250 East is really, really empty, especially after all those injuries. I think there's like four factory guys that got hurt and that are out, but he's still putting a really solid ride there at Orlando, getting third, and he's only 8 points down going into the final remaining two rounds. They got their one last round with just them and 250 East. Then they got the East-West shootout. So, still two rounds to make up those 8 points there. And he has 2 months to heal up and get going again. And, that came at, like, the perfect timing. And hopefully he can put together, like, a late championship charge and get Colt Nichols there. But both those Star Racing Yamaha guys are really on it this year. And, the final remaining two rounds of the 250 East class is going to be really good, especially since one of them's the 250 East West shootout, which, always causes for some drama. But, it should be a really good championship. And Colt Nichols has the momentum now for sure, though, but I think Christian Craig can come out swinging, and he definitely had the momentum at the beginning of the season, so maybe if he can heal up and bring in that same, fire that he had out in, I almost said Anaheim, in Houston. Yeah, it'd be really cool to see, and either way, if it goes to Craig or Nichols, I think they both deserve a title here, and as they're both veterans in the 250 class. Okay, so now we're getting into the good stuff here. We got the 250 West, and it's the complete opposite of the 250 East. Everyone was saying how empty the 250 East is this year, and the 250 West is the complete opposite. It is absolutely stacked, and tonight, with it being so stacked, it led for it to be some good racing tonight, and the championship, it looks like it's going to be pretty crazy, and not only for the title, but for the guys, even in 5th, the 10th place, and heck, even like 15th, and I was talking to someone earlier today, and I was saying, I think whoever gets 15th tonight would probably get like 5th, at least 5th, in the 250 East class, and let's look up who got 15th. We have 15th. We got Mitchell Harrison. So he's been looking really good lately. And who knows? He could have got 5th last week. And it's just crazy how deep this field is. And there's a lot of guys that even didn't even qualify for the main. Like they had issues or they just had some bad luck or whatever. And they didn't qualify for the main. And, it just kind of blows my mind. Let's look here. That's the main event results. Where is the LCQ? And the 250 LCQ was crazy tonight. I don't even mean the action within the race. I mean just the amount of big-name guys that were in there. And many of those big-name guys didn't even qualify for the main event tonight. So, honestly, pretty speechless at this point. I guess about everything at this point. But Cody Schott got that W there tonight. The rookie Nate Thrasher was there in second. Jordan Bailey, unfortunately, he doesn't have a ride this year. It showed in his amateur career that he had a lot of potential, but having some issues over the last couple of years, and I thought he was going to come out swinging on his own gig, own privateer ride. But he got fifth, and he was just on the outside of that craziness that happened two corners before the finish on the last lap. So he's there in fifth. Ty Masterpool, he's on that gas-gas bike, and a lot of people were speechless there. From last year, he looked really good in the outdoors, pulled that whole shot with that one-hander over the whole shot line at Red Bud, and he looked really good, showed a lot of speed there, and it was really unfortunate that he couldn't get signed back again with the Star Racing Yamaha team, but heck, that Star team is absolutely stacked this year, so that forced them to move over to the AEO Gas team, and, you know, I thought he was definitely going to do better than he did tonight. I think he qualified like 39th, then in the LCQ he got 7th, so this really sucks there, but hopefully he can rebound after this one-week break. Then they go into Daytona, and I think Daytona suited his style a little bit better, and I can definitely see him, you know, qualifying for the main event there, and hopefully he does. But moving on from him, we got in 8th place. Yeah, heck, no one really even talked about Dominik Thierry coming in. He is the German that kind of, I think they covered it actually a little bit tonight in the TV coverage, but the German that pretty much sold everything. He raced the German Supercross stuff, but sold everything he had in Germany, pretty much, and moved over to the U.S. and signed with signed with the Club MX team, and that team really has it going on. It seems like every year they keep on stepping up their program, but he signed with them, and I think he's living down there at Club MX, and not too many people are talking about him, but tonight he looked really good. He was up there at, before I talk about the heat race, talk about the it was the qualifying group C there, and they showed him on the TV for most of that session, and from what I saw, it looked really smooth actually, and put down a really fast time. I'm not sure where he qualified at, but I know it was up there. I think he qualified in the top 20, like 18th or something. I could be wrong, but I think he's in the top 20. But anyways, in the heat race, he was up there in the transfer spot, and I think he got like 10th. So he just missed out on that, but in the LCQ, he got a pretty good start, but I think he just got caught up with some guys and was just a couple spots down. I think he was like 7th or 8th in the LCQ for a while, and he ended up finishing 8th, so it was really unfortunate, but still, you know, a really good ride for his Pro Supercross debut, so, you know, hopefully he can rebound again, just like Masterpool rebound at Daytona. He looked really smooth tonight, but heck, I was going to go further down the list to find a big name, but nope, one spot down. So we're going from 8th, 30 is down to 9th place, which is Carson Mumford. Crazy that he didn't qualify for the main event tonight. He had some issues there in the heat race. Who was that? Dylan Schwartz, I think, that got an inside and forced him out and forced him to crash in the plywood there. And honestly, when I was watching the LCQ, I kind of completely forgot about Carson Mumford there. And I looked down, I'm like, shoot, where's Carson at? I looked down, and he was pretty far, you know, down on the list. And it was looking like he wasn't going to make it at all. So this really sucks for him getting ninth there. And hopefully he can rebound it. I feel like every guy, I'm going to say, well, hopefully he can rebound it at Daytona. But I feel like all these guys that I'm mentioning should be in the main event. Just really is frustrating. And I'm only watching these guys, but it's frustrating for me to watch them, knowing how empty the 250s class is. But, yeah, that has to be frustrating for those guys, seeing the riders that are getting inside the top 10 in the East class, and, you know, these guys are struggling just to make a main event here. But I feel like Carson should have no problem qualifying for the main event in Daytona, and even after that in Arlington and all that good stuff. I think he should be fine. But who else is down there? That's not it. I was going to say that's pretty much it, but we have Masterpool's brother, Jake Masterpool, there, hit a gnarly get off in the whoops. Jerry Robin, and then we got Sean Cantrell. Did he even? No, he DNF'd. So, you guys caught it on TV in the heat race. I think he was in the final spot. If not, he might have been like in eighth, though. So, either he was in eighth or ninth, and I think it was the last lap of the whatever heat race he was in, heat number two, I think, and he had a gnarly get off in the whoops, and those whoops caused a lot of issues tonight and even a lot of issues last week as well. But had a gnarly get off, which forced him to go to the LCQ, and from what I'm seeing in the results, you know, it looks like he had another issue in the LCQ, which forced him to the DNF, the LCQ. But who else is on here? Carson Brown was heck. Carson Brown's in the LCQ, but it said he DNS'd there, so hopefully he's not hurt too bad. Okay, so now moving on to the 450s, and man, all I can say is Cooper Webb is looking really good right now, and I feel like not that many people are talking about him, which is really crazy. Heck, even including myself. I don't think I mentioned him too much in the last podcast, which makes me want to go back to the last podcast and listen to what I said, because honestly, I wasn't thinking too much about Cooper Webb. Like, he was there in the back of my mind, but yeah, I don't think I was thinking about him too much, which is definitely ridiculous, because we all know what he's capable of. We saw what he did in the 250s. He looked really good in the 250s, you know, and then when he got bumped up to the 450s, had bad luck there on the Yamaha and just wasn't looking too good. But it seems like ever since he joined the Red Bull KTM team along with Alden Baker, he's like a whole new man. And yeah, he's been on fire. And last year, I feel like everyone stopped talking about him after he had that gnarly get off at Arlington. And he still put in some really good rides after that. But yeah, this year, especially in Orlando, he's looking really good. And both Orlando rounds, Cooper Webb has absolutely been on fire. He's been looking really good, and it's definitely going to be a good championship between him and Ken Roczen. And, you know, hopefully Eli Tomac can get back to his old self and put together a late championship charge. And, heck, he's kind of far out of the title hunt at this point, but I guess nothing's impossible. And heck, even if he's too far out, if he starts winning races or whatever, or even just putting pressure on those guys up front like Ken and Cooper, and I guess, you know, anything can happen, because just like the 250 West class, the 450 class is so stacked, and a lot of guys are looking good this year, including Barcia, and, you know, the being the mix up front there. And Orlando won. It seemed like Cooper Webb was leading forever. I thought for sure Ken Roczen was going to get him, but those two were playing a game of cat and mouse, and, you know, unfortunately Ken couldn't reel him in. But, you know, heck, even Ken Roczen, or him and Ken Roczen, put in a really good ride at Orlando 1. And moving on to Orlando 2, kind of weird. You know, normally we see Eli Tomac with the bad starts, and not like he got a great start at Orlando 2. I think he was, like, right inside the top 10, but Ken Roczen really got a really, really bad start there. So he's making his way through the pack, and he had to be outside of the top 15, I think, there on the first lap. And he ended up catching Tomac, and that was pretty good racing between those two tonight. And Ken Roczen ended up getting fourth, Eli with that mistake, and which put him back to sixth. And not only that mistake there in the corner after the whoops, but I think they even mentioned it on the broadcast tonight, but Jason Anderson, like, came out of nowhere and just was made a move on Tomac, and kind of, I think, caught everyone off guard tonight. But getting into the results at Orlando 2, Cooper Webb got the dub tonight. Him and Marvin Musan on the Red Bull KTM go 1-2. Justin Barcia looked really good, getting third. And then fourth was Ken Roczen, and fifth, Jason Anderson. And it really sucks for Adam Cincirillo, because Adam was looking really good. I think he led for like 8 or 9 minutes tonight. And when Cooper Webb got around him, I thought Cooper was going to pull away a little bit. But heck, AC was right behind him. And who knows, he wasn't, you know, like, battling with him too hard. But he was still, he had him in his sights. And I think he was only like a second or two behind him. But, you know, and late in the race, he could have made a late race charge. But had that gnarly get off in the whoops, and it seemed like a lot of people had issues in those whoops tonight. Those were definitely gnarly. It seemed like the majority of the riders were jumping through them for the most part, and caused a lot of problems for a lot of people tonight, and that I was watching and qualifying, and, you know, obviously in the night show as well. But getting on the list, who else should I talk about here? Eli looked pretty good for the most part. I thought for sure that he was going to get Justin Barcia there. Justin Barcia actually was riding pretty good. This year, it seems like he's reinvented himself, and just that more of that old school Bam Bam, you know, last couple of years on Yamaha. Like last year, he actually looked pretty good, and the previous 2 years on the Yamaha, went in Anaheim one, so he still had some speed there for sure, but didn't look like his old self when he was on Geico Honda, and this year on that Gas team or the Troy Lee Gas team, he's looking really good, and even from what I saw in the first seven rounds, I thought Eli Tomac was gonna get around him, and yeah, Barcia looked really good out there, and held his own, and ended up getting third on the night. Was in fourth forever before AC went down, but still, he put in a really good ride. And the points after eight rounds into this 17-round championship, we got Ken Roczen still with the red plate. He has a six-point lead over Cooper Webb, and it's down the third, which is Eli Tomac, 31 points down. So he's over a full race down. So like I said earlier in the podcast, he's kind of out of the title hunt. Like, anything can happen. Roczen can have a DNF and Cooper have issues, but yeah, man, he's really far down. I don't think he's going to pull this in and, or reel it in, reel those guys in. But, yeah, anything can happen. I guess I'll leave it at that. But getting down to fourth, which is Justin Barcia, which is 44 points down. Fifth is Marvin Musquin, 47 points down. Sixth is Malcolm Stewart, which is 55 points down. Then 7th is Zach Osborne, 57 points down. 8th is Adam Cincirillo, which is 60 points down. And 9th, Aaron Plessinger, which is 67 points down. Then rounding out the top 10 is Dylan Ferrandis, which is 71 points down. And honestly, it's kind of crazy because this field is so stacked in the 450 class. But, yeah, it drops off after Cooper Webb, The 6 points down to Cooper Webb, then a huge drop off to Eli Tomac. So I thought for sure after eight rounds of the championship that it would be a little closer with, heck, even between the top five guys. I thought it was going to be closer for sure. But, heck, we still have a half a championship to go. And like I said, anything can happen. And hopefully Eli Tomac, and I feel like I said this 100 times in this episode. I think I said about Masterpool and I think Mumford as well. Hopefully, they can turn him around at Daytona. But we all know what Eli Tomac can do at Daytona. So, hopefully he can get a second win of the season there and kind of reel in those guys up front and put some pressure on those guys. But anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in to episode 20 of the Moto 247 show.